Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love and mercy. And we ask that as we seek to understand your word this morning, you would give us insight by your Spirit. And we ask for Jesus' sake. Amen. Do sit down. Well, up until about 10 years ago, you would often have heard this on your television set. All recognise that, I'm sure. Of course, the television series This Is Your Life. It ran for about 50 years as people were taken by surprise and their life stories were told, often with special guests coming and giving information about the person's life. Well, the presenters, famously Eamon Andrews and later Michael Aspel, had a big red book which contained the details of people's lives and was given to the person at the end of the programme as a memento. Now, the programme included many famous people and ordinary people who had done extraordinary things. Famously or infamously, footballer Danny Blanchflower and author Richard Gordon turned down the Red Book in the 60s and 70s. In 1990, when snooker player Stephen Hendry was surprised with the Red Book, aged 21, he remarked that he had hardly had a life. In contrast, cricketer Joe Phillistan, at 100 years old, was the oldest person ever to be the subject of This Is Your Life back in 1962. Well, this morning we read from Psalm 103, and it is a song or a poem in praise to God written by King David. And as we read this psalm, you'll find it on page 602, we see three things about life that we all need to recognise. And the first is that life is a passing thing. King David writes in verse 14, "For the Lord God knows our frame." In other words, he knows how we are made. "He remembers that we are but dust. As for man, his days are like grass. He flourishes like a flower of the field. For the wind passes over it and it is gone, and its place knows it no more." Now, this is quite a sober and deep thing to remember as we start a new year, but of course it is true. Life on earth does not last forever. Life is a passing thing. We're made of elements that will return to soil and dust. We are like plants that grow for a while and then die off, and the stalks just blow away in the breeze. Well, if life is a passing thing, how important that we make the most of it and see what our purpose in life is. Now, King David saw that his life had a purpose. He begins his song reminding himself of what is vital. "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." As we read the psalm, it's clear that a real purpose in life is to be rightly connected to the God who has made us, to live with him and for him, to bless and praise the Lord God, appreciating who he is and what he has done for us, and pointing others to him. Now, David's life was focused on making known that, in verse 8, "The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love." God is full of unchanging love, even to people like us who don't deserve it. Well, our lives might be passing things, but God is not. So verse 15, "As for man, his days are like grass. He flourishes like a flower of the field, but the wind passes over it and it is gone and its place remembers it no more. But the steadfast love of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and his righteousness to children's children." If life is a passing thing, and reluctantly we all have to agree that it is, how important that we have a purpose in life that is centered on the one whose love lasts forever. I heard recently of a Swiss girl who was staying with friends in the UK to improve her English. When she saw the person she was staying with up a stepladder, she meant to say, "What on earth are you doing?" But it came out, "What are you doing on earth?" Now that's a very good question, because life is a passing thing. Well, another thing about life we all need to recognize is that life is a precious thing. I wonder if you've ever asked what you are worth. A chemist I read about calculated that a human body contains mainly oxygen and carbon, with hydrogen, calcium and phosphorus, and a small amount of elements like magnesium and iodine. Now, if you could somehow isolate all those different elements and somehow value them and for some kind of use, then I wonder what they might be worth. Well, this particular person thought we're talking about something like a pound. Fairly depressing thought. Now, of course, seeing as it's illegal to sell individual organs, you might get a little bit of money for maybe your skin or something like that. But in the end, the physical nature of our bodies is not terribly valuable. But of course, our friends and family would put a much bigger price on us. But what about the question, what does God think we are worth? Well, David writes in his Psalms very often of how much he has fallen short of God and how he has let God down. He speaks for everyone in Psalm 51 when he says, "I know about my sins. I have sinned against you. I have sinned and done wrong since the day I was born." Now, if this is the case, God doesn't owe any of us anything and might think of us as of not much value. But in our Psalm 103, David writes some of the most beautiful words in the Bible. He shows that people are extremely precious to God, so much so that he has done for those who believe in him what they most need. So verse 11, "For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is God's steadfast love towards those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us." That's a question, isn't it? How far is the distance between the earth and the heavens, that is, the stars and the planets? Well, they say that the sun, the closest star to earth, is about 100 million miles away. And that distance is a picture of how great, how vast God's love is towards those who recognize him and respect him. How far is the east from the west? Well, the circumference of the earth is about 25,000 miles. But of course, it's the furthest distance that you can imagine to stay on the earth. It's the other side of the world. Of course, when you get there, the east is always further away. Well, that is like the distance that God can take our sins away to when we call upon him. But how can God do such a thing? If God, as the psalm reveals, is pure and holy, and we all fail and sin, how can he forgive? Well, King David must have pondered on that and not been able to understand how God could do such a thing. But when we read the rest of the Bible, we see that David himself pointed forward to a truly great king who would never let God down, who would never sin. A king who, when he was born, was announced as one who would save his people from their sins. Of course, that was Jesus. And as we remember in our communion service this morning, he paid the price of sin by dying in place of others. David sings verse 10, "God does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities." And that is because God himself, in Jesus his Son, pays the price himself instead. The life of people who believe in him are very precious to God. Well, finally, we all need to recognize a third thing about life, and that is that life is a powerful thing. Sometimes we hear about a group that tries to invade a country or to take over the government, some kind of military coup or that sort of thing. Well, very often, the very first thing that people do is to take control of the TV and radio stations, and these days, control of the internet and social media. That way, you can gain influence very quickly. Well, in a similar way, our lives, as it were, give off signals which influence others. In some ways, we can't help influencing others for good and for bad. Like the sun shining on us so that our bodies throw out a shadow, so we influence people by our lives and by our words. And this was clearly true with King David. David's words have been read and appreciated for some 3,000 years. He's had great influence over others through his words and the life that he had. Now, David seemed to realize this, and he ends his song encouraging others, those in heaven and on earth, and indeed everything, to recognize and praise the true and living God. Verse 20, "Bless the Lord, O you his angels, you mighty ones who do his word, obeying the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, all his hosts, his ministers who do his will. Bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his dominion." I was at a conference this week and I was asked who was one of my heroes. Well, I had to think quickly. And I said William Wilberforce, the Christian politician who was involved in abolishing slavery 200 years ago. Of course, William Wilberforce used to come to Ferriby to visit his grandfather, and he played in the garden of what was then Aston Hall, the same bit of land where our house and garden is today. Well, William Wilberforce is buried in Westminster Abbey, and on his tombstone, it mentions many of the good things that he was responsible for. And then it says that he left behind him the abiding eloquence of a Christian life. That is a long-lasting, beautiful influence that being a Christian made. Well, we might be nothing like as great as Wilberforce. We might not be like great King David in the Psalm. We might not be some kind of great evangelist who can persuasively and easily speak about Jesus. But in many ways, we can positively influence people and quietly point them to God through our lives. You see, life is a powerful thing. Well, I don't suppose any of us will ever be on TV for This Is Your Life, but we can think about life as we begin a new year, especially in the light of this psalm. Life is passing, but God is not, so we can have a purpose with him. Life is precious because God values us so much, he sent his son to pay the price to forgive us. And life is powerful. With God's help, we can be a positive influence, pointing others to him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your greatness as it is revealed in this psalm, for your steadfast love, for your mercy, for your grace in offering forgiveness. And as we think about our lives, we pray that we would indeed be centered on you, receiving your grace and pointing others to it. And we ask for Jesus' sake. Amen.